Welcome to In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. Last week, around 200 teachers in the Salt Lake City School District staged a walkout of a meeting of the Board of Education. That happened after 2 months of salary negotiations between the teachers' union and the district led to an impasse. The abridged version of that story is that the union is asking for a 6% raise for teachers, and the district hasn't been able to offer that. There's a longer version, though, that includes the fact that other school districts along the Wasatch Front have been bumping up their starting salary for teachers to as much as $50,000. In part, that's an acknowledgement of the fact that teaching is a tough job, but it's also because retaining teachers, meaning keeping teachers teaching, is proving to be difficult. The regional planning agency Envision Utah recently conducted a study of teachers in Utah and found that more teachers than ever are leaving the profession. And that's happening even as the student population in Utah is booming. And a central reason teachers surveyed said they were leaving the profession? Low pay. So how does the teachers union and the school district view this salary impasse? And what comes next in the debate over teacher pay in Salt Lake City schools? Today on In the Hive, we'll hear both of those perspectives, and we'll start with Yandri Chatwin, Executive Director of Communications for the Salt Lake City School District. Yandri Chatwin, thanks for taking the time today.
Happy to chat.
From the school district's point of view, what are the sticking points in these salary negotiations? I know that the Teachers Association is asking for a certain amount of salary increase, but is there a central sticking point between the association and the district?
Honestly, I don't think it's unique to just our district. It's a struggle that every school district in the state deals with every year. We have a limited amount of funding, and we need to figure out a way to meet everybody's needs and stretch that to make sure that students are being served as best as we can. And obviously, that means taking care of our employees, but the devil is in the details, as always.
Yeah, so the Teachers Association is asking for 6%. They said they would settle for 5% raise. Is that something that the district can't afford to do, is settle on 6%?
Yeah, it's tough to maintain the current salary schedule, which has various lanes, different steps within those lanes for teachers to move up, depending on how long they've been here, their education levels, and to also do the 6% raise. So that's what's been a little bit tricky. There have actually been 3 offers made to the association. The first one kept that same model of salary schedule with the lanes and the steps and offered a 3% salary increase. The second offer would have offered a 6% increase and had a starting salary of $50,000. That matches the model in the Canyon School District, which also means that it would have moved everybody to a single lane with multiple steps. That offer was also rejected, and so the third offer bumped the starting salary up a little bit to $50,100. That would keep us in second place in the state and in first place along the Wasatch Front. And again, same thing, 6% and single lane for future pay.
So I haven't spoken to the Salt Lake Education Association yet, but in coverage in the Salt Lake Tribune, their president said that the change in the salary schedules would cut into long-term earnings for teachers, and that's the reason that they rejected that. I mean, I guess that's, you're working with a finite sum of money and trying to cut in some places, add to other places. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern that I know that a lot of the teachers had. The thing with that, though, is that negotiations happen every year. Next year, let's say that we have a generous amount of money coming in from the legislature, that could change in negotiations. So just because it's set at a certain level for this year doesn't mean that for the rest of their careers they're sticking to that.
I got it. Viewed as an ongoing negotiation.
Yeah.
It's sort of, where can you, you mentioned the legislature and the allocation of money for education in general. Where does the money that pays teachers come from? Is it really just the legislature allocates a certain amount of money based on population, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the legislature allocates what's called the WPU, the weighted pupil unit, which means that every school district in the state gets funded in the same way per student. So there's a set amount that they determine. So depending on how many students a district has, that's how much money they would get based on the WPU. And then there are other places as well. There's some federal funding, some grants, There's a pot in the state for students at risk that might bring in a little extra money for some districts. That's for students who are going through homelessness, who are English language learners, who come from low-income households. So there are a couple of different places, but bottom line, it's taxpayer dollars. That's where the funding comes from. Just it depends which pot.
Just going back to the salary request from the Salt Lake Education Association, if you gave the 5% or a 6% raise to teachers, would that require a property tax increase, or how would that money be allotted for that raise? Would it cut into other areas of the district's funding pool?
So the three offers that were made, our board was in a position to make those offers without having to raise property taxes. In general, the Salt Lake City Board of Education is hesitant to raise property taxes, and that's for a number of reasons. But one is that in the state of Utah, our district is one of the districts that brings in the highest amount of property taxes. That gets redistributed because of legislation, and so not all of our tax dollars in Salt Lake stay here in Salt Lake. So it's hard to justify a property tax increase when we know that that money won't even all stay here in our school district.
Okay, and that's interesting. I mean, would it be, please forgive my naivety here, but
no,
like,
you're good.
If a property tax were needed, you know, if in the end the only thing that could possibly be done was to raise property taxes, is that something that, you know, the boards of education decide on, or is that done through other mechanisms?
I can just speak very globally to it. I don't know the nuances, but
sure.
There is a cap. I don't know off the top of my head what that number is, but there is a rate that's the max for a school district to raise. But a school district, a school board would have to vote for that to happen. There would have to be a truth in taxation hearing, so an opportunity for the public to comment. The board would take that into consideration. So I can't speak for the board. They might decide to do this at some point, but there are a number of reasons why they might be hesitant to do that in our district specifically.
Including the fact that redistribution of money goes elsewhere.
Exactly.
There was a survey by Envision Utah that talked about the difficulty in retaining teachers in various school districts around the state. Is the Salt Lake City School District seeing a teacher shortage and having a hard time retaining teachers?
Yes, and again, this is a problem statewide. A few years ago, the legislature funded a pilot program for a teacher mentoring program. That funding was discontinued after the pilot program, but it had made such a difference in our district that our school board found a way to make that money, to allocate that money, so we continue that program. It's called the PAR program, Peer Assisted Review Program. And so we have a number of senior teachers who are on special assignments. So rather than being in the classroom, they are assigned to mentor first-year teachers and help them through those really, really difficult transitions as they are coming into the profession. And we have definitely found that that helps retain teachers long-term.
And basically, that's interesting. So the idea there is that teachers come in the first few years, they're not ready, I guess, for what they're going to confront with, you know, actual teaching. When, you know, they've had their experience in education and they've maybe waded into the profession, but when they actually jump in, they need that mentorship to allow them to stay. A lot of teachers, though, in this Envision Utah survey also pointed to this very thing, to pay being one of the major drivers for them leaving the profession, those who were surveyed by this group. What happens next, Yandri, in these negotiations with the Salt Lake Education Association and teacher pay?
That's a great question. So now that the negotiations have come to an impasse, there has to be a way for the two parties to agree on a way to move forward. And the way that has been agreed upon is federal mediation. So a federal mediator has been assigned to us from the Las Vegas federal office, and we're currently working on scheduling a date for that mediator to come to sit down with both sides and hopefully figure out an agreement that both sides can be happy with.
Is there anything missing from the story? I mean, anything big that, you know, you get coverage in the Tribune or on KCPW or wherever else that maybe people listening don't know about or don't see or don't think about when they're thinking about salary negotiations over teacher pay?
Well, one thing we don't talk about enough, I think, is all the people who work to make a school function: custodial workers, child nutrition, paraprofessionals, school counselors. So it's not just our teachers who are underpaid and need raises. It's all of these employees as well. The school board has approved and negotiated salary raises with the other groups in our district, and those groups will be getting a 3% raise. So it's so hard to balance the needs of the various groups and just the needs of our students, whether we put that money into salaries or we put that into programming and curriculum for students. It's always a struggle. So it's not that there's a school district that doesn't value teachers or doesn't want to compensate them properly. It's just it's hard to do that with all the demands. And again, all the people. This year, our board has voted to raise the salary for paraprofessionals. So some people might know them as teacher's aides. These individuals are crucial in our classrooms. And I mean, they're in every classroom, including special ed. Those individuals will now be making $15 an hour starting salary. That's up from $11. And that's a significant bump. But we know that it is more than deserved. And again, everybody deserves the raises that they're asking for. It's just hard to make those funds stretch.
You know, and that comes down again to the amount of money available at the state level for education. And you would obviously like to see, more funding for all of education across the state, right?
Yeah, and I think that's something that our legislators do keep in mind. And we hope they'll continue to keep that in mind as they work on tax reform this summer. At some point, we'll have a special session to discuss that. There have been a few ideas tossed around, one of them being that the earmark for income tax to go to education might be done away with. And we hope that our legislators will keep in mind that we already are at a shortage, and it's maybe not the best investment to change the funding for education in a downward way. Instead, we should be looking for ways to increase what we can provide to our students and our teachers.
Yandri Chatwin, Executive Director of Communications for the Salt Lake City School District. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Happy to chat with you.
As you just heard, the pool of funding available for education in Utah is, well, limited. So what does the teachers' union say to that argument for not giving educators a no-strings-attached 6% raise? Yesterday, I also spoke with James Tobler, president of the Salt Lake Education Association, to get his take.
We feel like there is money available for employee pay and teacher raises. There's been money that's been set aside for other things that could be used, and we also would support a truth in taxation property tax raise that has happened in many other districts in the Valley, and that's another way to get funds available for that.
What does that mean, truth in taxation property raise, for listeners who don't understand that?
That is, the Salt Lake School Board can raise property taxes up to a very small percentage, and right now we're a little bit lower from what I understand of many of the districts in our valley.
One of the things that the district says is the idea that Salt Lake City schools are subsidizing a number of other districts around the state, which kind of hints at a problem of allocation, that there's one pool of funding, and that, you know, despite the fact that Salt Lake City collects a lot of the property taxes, that isn't reflected in the funding available to them. And then I guess that makes it difficult for them to find the funds available to do what you're asking them to do, which is to raise teachers' pay by 6%. Can you talk about the, is that a valid way of saying, you know, we don't have the money because a lot of it's going to other districts?
Well, first of all, I want to say we support increased education funding in the whole state wholeheartedly. We don't want one district to have significantly more funds for education than another district. We'd like to see the state legislature make moves to lift the bar for the whole state. We are consistently one of the lowest funded states in education in the United States, and we should be furious. And we feel like in the Salt Lake Education Association, this is something we can do to improve funding for our schools and teacher pay for our educators.
And that's just funding more generally education.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's right now we have the legislature applies a weighted pupil unit percentage every year. This year it was 4%. So that's a 4% increase that all schools are going to get from the state legislature. And we also support school districts raising those property taxes by minuscule amounts. That's a huge help to school districts.
Do you know if Salt Lake City Schools, if the Salt Lake City School District has the money available, you know, without raising property taxes to pay the 6% that you're asking for, or the 5% that you were willing to settle for, I guess?
Yes, per our analysis, they do. And it's just a question of, you know, what they're using their funds for. Right now, as far as I can see, they're saving a chunk of money for a new building. But, you know, most school districts bond for building new schools. So we feel like that money could be made available to pay teachers and other employees.
And then a bond could be done to pay for the school that they're holding onto that money for.
Exactly.
What are the sticking points in the negotiations between Salt Lake Education Association and the district? Is it that contracts are about to expire, or why are these negotiations happening now? How often do you have to have these negotiations?
We actually negotiate every year, and we bring, you know, up to three proposals to the table. They bring up to three proposals to the table, and then we negotiate, and then we talk to kind of at the very last minute. We started talking about raises, and we're like, hey, all this other work we've done was great, but this is, you know, the kind of the elephant in the room that we should have been talking about all along. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we brought up some shifting some of our sick leave to personal leave, and we made a lot of progress in that. And we appreciate the district working with us on that. We have teachers of lots of different religions and family obligations, and, you know, having been able to take a personal day for their religious holiday or for a wedding that comes up or whatever is important. So that was a huge positive that came out of negotiations. We also support parental leave pay. Right now, a teacher has to use their sick leave. And a lot of the teachers that are having babies or new parents, they haven't acquired that sick leave yet. So we would like to see some kind of pay that allows them to stay home with their newborns. You know, and teachers have come to me like, hey, we take care of everybody else's kids. Why can't we have the opportunity to take care of our own kids when they're first born? So that's something we'd like to see progress on. We also propose some class size limits, and we might be a long way from doing that. But there's a lot of things we can do to improve education in our state.
But then on the proposals, I know that the district has made some offers. Those included bumping starting pay to $50,000, and in fact, a 6% pay increase in at least one of those offers. You have rejected those offers. Why?
Yeah, we've been offered basically the Canyons School District pay rate, and they offered a very kind of generous proposal for, it's basically for the first year. But per our analysis, so if you really look at the Canyon salary schedule, a teacher who stays in that salary schedule for 20 years or more is going to lose anywhere from $125,000 to $200,000 for the life of their career. So what happens is, it's great for starting teachers, but if you stay in the district, you start to make less, and your increments are smaller than the one that we currently have.
How does that compare to peer districts or comparably sized districts? I mean, if you look at Salt Lake City School District, in the state, there's probably no natural district to compare it to. But in terms of teacher pay in Salt Lake City School District versus a district of a comparable size somewhere else, and I don't have one at the tip of my fingers, but how does Salt Lake City District do?
Well, we're one of the best paid teachers in the state. I believe Park City, Summit County is better paid than we are. And, you know, we recognize that that's a problem, and we encourage all teachers to join together and improve teacher pay in the state. In fact, just today, had conversations with teachers from other districts, and they support us 100%. They see that if we can really start a movement to improve education funding, that it can have very positive results. In fact, got an email from a teacher from the Canyons about how their pay scale, they didn't really see how detrimental it would be for the long term, and that they supported us in this effort.
I'm just thinking about the way the district frames this again is that there's this finite pool of money, and that the reason they're offering you that different, you know, changing the salary schedule is because essentially they're moving money around to make up the difference. You know, you say there's money available to pay the teachers the 5 or 6% raise that you're asking for with the same salary schedule. Here's the question that I have, that I'm hinting at, is there a teacher strike on the horizon?
We're definitely not thinking about striking. We feel like there's room for the district to move, and we're very hopeful that the federal mediator process will be positive and that we can come to an agreement.
Is there any big part of this that doesn't get coverage that the public is missing when this gets covered in the newspaper or on public radio like my station? When it comes to this discussion about negotiations over teacher pay, what gets left out of that conversation?
I think it is confusing when talking about the Canyon salary schedule that we've been offered that gives us that 6% raise for the first year versus staying with our current salary schedule. I think it's confusing. I think people are like, well, why aren't they wanting a starting salary of $50,000 and a 6% raise? And again, if you look at the schedule and you do the analysis, you see that over the career of a teacher, that a teacher will lose money. And we really want to improve the profession of education. We want these to be careers that people are attracted to and that they can make money if they spend time in the district and improve their trade.
Can you generally sort of talk about the picture of retaining teachers and why it's so hard to do in Utah or wherever? I mean, you're the teachers union, you're the representative of these teachers. Some of them don't make it to 5 years, you know? Well, just talk about that.
Well, first off, it's an incredibly stressful profession. Anybody who's spent a day in a classroom knows this, especially if they spent a year in a classroom, they know this. There are so many things that are happening in that classroom. Students are dealing with all kinds of issues and trying to manage a class. It's taxing. It is emotionally draining. And so it's a very high burnout profession. There's nothing better than when kids get a lesson and the light goes off and they're curious and they're engaged. I mean, it is the most rewarding profession out there. But on a day when things aren't going well and kids are upset about something or there's something going on, it's very stressful, you know, and teachers get stressed and what can we do to address that? And it's definitely not just a pay issue. And, you know, in the Salt Lake District, we have a great peer assistance and review program that takes new teachers and kind of mentors them into the profession. There's lots of things we can do to help with teacher retention. And I think pay is definitely one of those things. You know, if a new graduate is going to be more likely to be an educator if the pay is good. Right. I've heard that from many people just coming out of college, like, oh, I'd love to be a teacher. It's my dream job, but I can't live off that salary.
Another part of this is that we have a really large student population, and it's been growing. It's been growing a lot more than the population of teachers has been growing. Is Utah unique that way?
Yeah, we have some of the largest students or class sizes and student population in the country. And in fact, in my workshop today, we watched a video about someone who said that his life was changed by having a caring adult kind of take him under his wing. And I'm just thinking about, you know, when I was, you know, as a teacher, as a high school teacher, I had sometimes had more than 200 students. And it's really difficult to take each one of those students and kind of be that caring adult in their lives. So that's, you know, a conversation down the road. If teachers had smaller class sizes, could they really give that attention to every student? Because they deserve it. They deserve our best.
Of course, that would require more teachers and it's, again, a chicken and an egg problem.
There's no easy solution, but a great start would be funding education more. Have more, and it doesn't have to just be teachers, more counselors, more tutors, more paraprofessionals, even custodians. I know a custodian in our school who takes some students under his wing, and he was a coach. And there's just so many opportunities for that to happen, but right now, in our district, the hourly pay is like $9, and we're just—it's a rotating door. People coming and going. Let's increase pay for these professionals and keep them in our school and build a community that really serves our students.
Last question: what's the time frame on this? You know, you mentioned, and the district has talked about the mediator coming in from the federal level. What's the time frame on that happening? And then, you know, can this get resolved before school starts?
Like I said, we're very optimistic and hopeful that we can get this resolved with mediation. I would think we could meet with the mediator within a month. we'll see how that goes. That depends on availability of the district people, our people, and the mediator. So we'll see.
I didn't ask this question of the district. I spoke with their communications director, but I think I'll ask it of you. Is there any room, you know, when you think about mediation, you think about negotiation, is there any room for you to give, and what does that look like? And you know, alternatively, what does it look like on their end?
We represent the interest of our members, and what our members say is what we're going to do. We heard loud and clear that a 3% raise wasn't good enough with what's going on with inflation, housing costs, and that what was going on with other districts around the valley. So we pushed for more than that, and we will represent our members the best way we can. That's what we've been elected to do, and again, we're optimistic.
All right, James Tobler, president of the Salt Lake Education Association, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Zooming out a bit from the discussion about teachers in Salt Lake City schools, at the state level, Utah has once again ranked last in the nation for per-student spending, according to U.S. Census data from 2017, the most recent data available on that metric. Utah Governor Gary Herbert, though, recently questioned that data at his monthly televised press conference on KUED.
I think it really is hard to compare state by state by state. And so whatever the numbers that are coming out, I'm not sure are actually accurate. The numbers that I've heard bandied about of us spending $7,100 per pupil is not correct. We actually are spending today over $10,700 per student in the state of Utah. I don't know how that ranks us in comparison with everybody else. As you all know, we are the only state in America that earmarks by constitution every dollar of income tax has to go into education. So we have a significant commitment to the education by how we in fact fund.
However, a planned tax reform in Utah could change that funding model substantially. As part of a proposed tax reform, some lawmakers are advocating removing the requirement that the income tax is devoted exclusively to education funding in the state. How that would impact school funding, and as a result, teacher pay, would be down to the details of the tax reform plan. That's something that lawmakers may discuss in a special legislative session later this year. In the meantime, at some point this summer, the Salt Lake City School District and the Salt Lake Education Association will come together to try to find common ground to pay teachers what they need to be in the classroom come August, and to hopefully stay in the classroom for many years to come. That's it for In the Hive from KCPW, a listener-supported, independent public radio resource. You can find podcasts of this and all of our local programs at our website, kcpw.org. The theme music for In the Hive is by Andrew Shaw. I'm Roger McDonough. Please join me again next week.